Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Lakers try to get win number one on the season.
You think Russell Westbrook is out and you're going to add more shooting or you're going to add a big. It still hasn't changed much for the Lakers.
No matter who's in the game, it's like, it's how we play.
The Denver Nuggets are rolling on this Laker team. A big.
We're four games in. It sucks to lose, but it's plenty of time for us to right the ship.
James, who is 0-4 for just the second time in his career, is it possible, based on how they are presently constructed, to turn this season around?
No.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm Malika Andrews, and as you just heard, the vibes, they are not great so far for the Lakers this season. Not only is this the first time since LeBron's rookie year that his team has started 0-4, but no team that has went winless over their first four games has gone on to win an NBA championship. So here's LeBron James after the Lakers' latest loss.
Some of it's early season stuff, obviously. Obviously, you know, like I said, it's a new system. It's a new group of guys together. We're still trying to get familiar with one another. I think, you know, we've been third overall in defensive ratings, top 10 in pretty much everything defensively. And we've been bottom everything offensively. I had some unforced turnovers today, just trying to make the right play, but not being aggressive enough, you know, and forcing a lot of things. But, yeah, we got to make some shots.
We now welcome in ESPN senior writer Brian Windhorst. And Brian, you have followed LeBron incredibly closely throughout his entire career, and we've seen him take teams, carry teams far into the playoffs. But how are you assessing this start?
Well, LeBron knew when he signed the extension with the Lakers back in August, which in essence took the pressure off of them really rapidly improving the team for this year. He knew when he did that, that it was a longer term investment. Certainly he and the Lakers wanted this season to have a better start, and they still are hoping that they can turn it around. But I don't think anybody was under the delusion that this was a complete team. They knew they were going to have issues. They knew that they were going to have to deal with Russell, the Russell Westbrook situation, which we're in the middle of seeing them do with right now. It is not something that was unexpected. And like LeBron just said, they do see some light at the end of the tunnel because they're defending better. And if they can just get out of playing some of the worst offense we've seen in recent modern history, that they should be okay. But Malika, saying Lakers and championship in the same sentence, it's just not rational. And it wasn't rational in August. And I do think LeBron and the rest of the Lakers understand that.
Brian, thank you. Please do not go too far. So here's something we know, right? We know that successful LeBron James teams, he's surrounded by shot makers when that happens. He's assisted on more threes than Steph has made in his entire career, which is wild. But this Lakers team is not built that way. They're shooting 22.3% from deep. That's the worst stretch in any four-game span in NBA history, like ever. You pick any four-game stretch for any team since the induction of the three-point line, and the Lakers would have shot worse than that from the beyond the arc. So here's Patrick Beverley on how they're looking on the bright side here.
Well, I think we were shooting 20%, and today we shot 26%, so we got better.
So, Tim, you know a little something about three-point shooting. You won the three-point contest, right, in 1996. How are you evaluating this from the Lakers?
Well, here's the thing. We can talk about the three-point shooting every night, and we're going to because it's that bad. What I'm talking about is the way it affects you on the other end of the floor and the way you start to break down defensively because you're dispirited with what's going on the other end. And that's kind of what I saw in this one. The Lakers got out, actually, to a pretty good start in this game, but eventually When the ball's not going in or you have bad possessions, these kind of things happen. And actually, initially, it's pretty good. It's just a simple two-man game that Denver's going to run right here. And you get two guys involved, two defenders involved in the ball screen action. And LeBron and Patrick Beverley do a nice job containing this. The third guy involved in this is Anthony Davis, and that's going to be the focus of this possession. You can see him sort of hovering and hanging out in case Gordon were to get a slip to the rim. He's in the proximity to defend that. But as you can see right here, we're in good shape. Both of these situations are locked down. So now Anthony Davis has to understand Nikola Jokic has rotated to the top. This is your closeout and your responsibility on this possession. And you'll take a look what happens. On the swing, look at Anthony Davis's body positioning. He is completely upright. And there is no way Nikola Jokic from 27 feet, a guy that's not exactly fleet of foot, should be able to catch this, turn the corner, get to the rim. And then you rely on help if this does happen. And here's the situation. Patrick Beverley's saying, all right, I got three options. I can stay here, fully commit, draw a charge, in which case it'll probably be a kick out to Murray. I can stunt and recover, and then you're going to ask for that last line of defense, or I can just stay home. And watch what he does. He stunts and recovers, and that means the last line of defense is LeBron James. And here's what LeBron is thinking. I'm reluctant to fully commit on Jokic drive because that means Aaron Gordon is going to go up here and catch a lob from one of the best passers in the league. So instead, he stays back flat-footed. It's an easy turner corner dunk. That just is too simple. Now, this one, again, offensively, it leads from the mistake what you get defensively. Here's the entry pass to the wrong hand. Anthony Davis doesn't really hold him off. Look at the job Jokic does in getting this deflection on the backside. But it's what happens after that that I'm concentrating on. First, this is your center. Now, you show me a center in the league in this situation that's not going to advance the ball to a guard and let him push it, and we get out running this way. But no, this is Nikola Jokic. You know what he says? He's like, no, guys, I'm going to go ahead and push this as the point guard, and now my wings are going to get out and run, and that's what I want you to focus on defensively. Stop it right here. You're in a great position, actually. You've got this defender in front of this wing runner, and you've got a back defender that is clearly going to stop the ball as it comes up the floor. But watch what happens right here. This is just a dead sprint where someone gets outrun because they're not in full sprint mode to get back. You give up a transition layup in a situation when you've got numbers back. And that's what I'm talking about. Defensive effort and concentration being affected by how poorly you are playing offensively.
Legs, thank you for that insight. I want to bring in Vince Carter and Kendrick Perkins here. And Perk, I'll start with you. It feels a little early, right, to be going full doomsday. But is there a bright side here, as Pat Bev mentioned? How can this be salvaged?
It can't be. And look, I don't care what Pat Bev is talking about. Hell, I didn't even think about and don't care what LeBron was talking about after that game. Here's the point right here, okay? The Lakers are just trash at the moment, okay? Their roster is not good. They're disgusting, okay? It's almost like you at breakfast time and you're going to pull you some cereal, right? And you thinking that it's Lucky Charms and you find out it's kibbles and bits. It's straight dog food. It's disgusting. This is what the Lakers are at the moment, okay? It's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Oh, yeah, I do too. But you find out it's kibbles and bits and all of a sudden you don't like it. And this is what the Lakers are. Like, so, like, we keep coming on here and I understand, right, because of LeBron James and Anthony Davis and they are the Lakers that we have to talk about them. But at this moment, this is who they are. We're going to continue to talk about how horrible they are because they're going to continue to lose games. And I didn't want to come on here and be ranting, but I had no choice. Once I found out we was talking about the Lakers, this is the best way to describe them.
Vince?
How do I follow that? No, I mean, he's right. This, right now, I mean, they're just a team that is just trying to figure it out. I mean, they're just individuals. They're not a team right now. I think they're going to make a mistake by trying to lean on LeBron at this age and then tire him out and won't have anything at the end of the day. And the other scary thing to this, Malika and Perk, you're going to mess around and have separation in your locker room. Then you really have a problem. Then where do you go from there? So this needs to be fixed. And I think we all know how and what needs to be done. If not, crash.
All right, gentlemen, I think that's enough Lakers for now because the back-to-back reigning MVP was balling last night. Nikola Jokic posted 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists for the Nuggets. Look out. Jokic led his team in points, rebounds, assists for the 85th time in his career, the most by a center in NBA history, poor Elias Sports Bureau. So, Shanae, like I said, enough of the negativity here.
Please.
What did you see from Nikola Jokic?
He's just a great example of how fundamentals matter, how skill can really be applied, learning, basketball IQ, as you mentioned, 31, 13, and 9, almost a triple-double. My goodness, most as a center leading your team in points, assists, and rebounds. That's just phenomenal. It's just, you know, it's funny. Tim was like, the guy that's not exactly fleet of foot, but he plays the game the right way and is surrounded by key pieces like Jamal Murray, KCP, Jeff Green, Bruce Brown, that are able to knock down shots and are great complements around him.
Yeah.
You feel like there are certain teams that are burgeoning right now in the NBA, whether it's the Suns or the Nuggets, that are really trying to make a name for themselves and play good basketball, and he's just a salient example of it.
Well, and they didn't even have Michael Porter Jr.,
exactly.
Right? And so we saw them get off to a little bit of a shaky start in that game against Utah. How are you feeling about them now?
Well, you never thought, even though the Lakers had some signs of life in the matchup, you never thought that they lost control of the game.
Mm.
And to be able to win these types of games and show that Jokic is like someone that can wake up, wash, rinse, repeat, and be consistent, I'm just happy to talk this side of the ball.
Okay, well, we're going to go from one two-time MVP to another, because coming up here on NBA Today, Giannis, he was doing Giannis-like things last night. Did you see him against the Nets?
Barely, because your girl's at Black Panther, but I saw the highlights in the second half.
Well, you and Tim Legler are going to break down what makes him so great. That is coming up. Plus, speaking of the Nets, is it time for patience or panic in Brooklyn? Hear what Kyrie Irving had to say about Ben Simmons. And with half man, half amazing here, do you know where we have to go for the first time this season, Janae? We are going to
the upper room,
where Vince Carter is going to break down the best dunks of the year so far. We'll be right back.
Room, room, upper room.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
At the end of the day, I'm okay with who I am. I understand my role. I try to be the best role player to ever play this game and to make my team successful. So I'm trying to improve, but at the end of the day, if this is who I am, I'm okay with it. And I'm still able to help my team in win games in any way I can.
The Bucks hosting the Nets last night. Let's take a look at this game. Going ahead to the third quarter here. Giannis brings the ball up.
A lot of
contact.
Take
a look at Steve Nash here. Not happy with that no call. And he lets the refs have it. Look, he's called for a technical foul here. He's still furious. He's ejected for the first time. You can see Coach Vaughn holding him back. Meanwhile, in the third, Giannis had 17 points on 6 of 8 shooting. Bucks outscore the Nets by 14 in the quarter and go into the fourth with a two-point lead here. And Giannis, he just kept it going in the fourth. So 4:30 left to play. Bucks up by 8. Giannis pulls up from the free throw line. It's good. Next possession, Giannis. And one.
Son.
And then finally, Giannis backing down Ben Simmons. Finishes down low here. Take another look. It looks like Giannis after this, maybe he did a little too small.
Oh, he definitely did, Malika.
Giannis has 43 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. The Bucks win it 110-99. And Giannis is off to a hot start. He's leading the league in scoring at 36 points per game, second with 13 rebounds behind Rudy Gobert. He's had consecutive 40-point games for just the second time in his career. Not bad for someone who we just heard call himself a role player. Legs, what did you see from Giannis last night?
Well, first of all, if that dude's a role player, I'm rethinking my whole career. Like, I don't know that makes me if this guy's a role player.
I don't know. A little, maybe a notch below that.
I'm telling you. No question about it. And so I'm watching this game, and the Nets actually played a really good first half. They're in control early third quarter. And then it becomes about Giannis. And the word for him is relentless. And this is where he's so special. He just doesn't care about what you've got going on defensively. So here's a shot that goes up. I mean, you can't be in better position if you're the Brooklyn Nets to stop transition. You've got four guys above the three-point line, and then you've got a fifth defender sprinting, and you've got basically the entire Bucks team under the basket. Right, so no way can this lead to a no-pass transition layup at the other end. Even as he comes up, he's looking up. Everybody is on this side of half court defensively. Finally, he's going to process this. And here's what he's knowing. Most teams are not going to really sell out to him the way that the Raptors did 4 years ago in the postseason when they changed that series. So even though you got five defenders in the paint, he understands what it takes physically to actually commit to this penetration.
Yeah, they're not going to overreact.
Not at all. And once he wins this matchup right here, this crossover, right now you realize the last line of defense is right here. And it's Kevin Durant. He's long, but Kevin Durant's not going to impede Giannis at the rim.
That's a business decision.
100%. Turns a corner, gets to the rim. Now, here again, transition. Look at it again. Look what the Nets have going on. You can't ask for better defensive positioning. Four guys back behind the basketball. And even when he gets to this point, Giannis is looking at this saying, okay, if I drive middle, if I take this thing middle right here, you got a help defender that's going to sell out, maybe take a charge, force a kick out. If Giannis decides to go downhill, you got a backline defender here. Are you really willing to put your body in front and force this kick to the corner? Giannis knows most guys just aren't willing to do it. So it's one stride, step through, use my strength, use my length, and finish. And this entire game became about Giannis overwhelming them physically. That's really all it was, and living at the rim the entire third quarter.
And the one thing I will give Giannis, he says he's a role player. We all know that's a lie. One thing I will give him is that he does have underrated aspects of his game, and one of those is ball handling. You mentioned this was from the third quarter on, 13 for 15 from the field in the second half, 34 points. You just have to feel like this guy, and you know one thing I loved in the post game, he absolutely said, hey guys, I felt like I wasn't myself in the first half, and he flipped the switch. I don't know many players in the NBA that want it more on a night-to-night basis than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
So that's the Milwaukee Bucks side of things. Let's get to the other side with Ben Simmons and the Brooklyn Nets. So we're picking up in the third quarter here. The Nets, watch him here, get the defensive rebound, go in transition, but listen to what Kyrie Irving says to Ben Simmons. Shoot it, Ben. So Simmons immediately passes out of the paint instead of looking for a shot. Here's what Kyrie Irving had to say after the game.
If we're going to come in and be honest as a team, I'm not trying to just be critical over what Ben's done right or done wrong every single night. He has the skills to be a great professional. He's done it in the past, and he hasn't played in 2 years. So you guys keep coming in here asking me, like, what about Ben? What about Ben? And it's just, he hasn't played in 2 years. Give him a chance. You know what I mean? We stay on his. We're just here to give him positive affirmations while he's out there and just let him hoop. You know, we want Ben to be aggressive every single play. And we want him to get assist every single play. We want him to rebound. We want him to play against the best player. We want him to do all the things that, you know, we know he's capable of. But at this time, he's going to have to work himself into his own confidence and feel good about himself. And I'm not going to say I'm being patient or humble about it, but The reality is that we're just going to keep having to try this experiment every single night until we get the right recipe.
Appreciate that insight there from Kyrie Irving. Ben Simmons has scored 21 points through four games this year. The season started last Tuesday. Already, players have scored 21 points in a game 191 different times. It's happened 29 times and a half. And four times, someone has had 21 points in a single quarter. So back here with Vince, with Perk, with Legs, with Brian. Tim, I'm going to start with you on this one. We just put up the stats. He's struggling offensively, right? But you specifically were looking at something when he brings the ball up the court.
Yeah, the problem I have is this. We understand that right now he lacks confidence, he lacks aggressiveness. Okay, we're going to be patient with him while he tries to find his way through that. The problem is when this is your primary ball handler and you don't have a threat at the initial action up the floor, and everybody defensively knows it, to me, this is just wasted time. And as long as they continue to insist that this is your point guard, it is going to continue to be talked about by us, because it's not about beating up Ben Simmons or picking on Ben Simmons. Mm. What it's about is that is not the way the position is normally played in the NBA. That typically is somebody that is going to put pressure on you defensively. Doesn't mean he's got to take 10, 12, 15 shots a night. That's not his thing. I get it. But you can at least be involved in early action to put pressure on defenses with your length and speed and passing ability the way that he did at his best in Philly. He is so far removed from that. I think the beginning of these possessions need to look a little bit differently. And if they insist on this is your walking up point guard, every time there's a dead ball or a made basket, this is who's bringing the ball up the floor. To me, you've wasted 8 to 10 seconds of offense because nothing is going to happen at the initial point of attack except for a dribble handoff. Hmm. And that's my bigger point with the point guard position than it is about really Ben Simmons and him in particular. Hmm.
And Legs, I want to add to that. And if you notice that, you're talking about bringing up the ball. Every now and then, you need Ben Simmons just to eat up that space. If the big is going to sit that deep into the paint, and they're going to sit that deep with the bigs, now you have two bigs into the paint. If you saw there, you know, he goes, look at the space set there. Eat up the space. Be aggressive. And I like what Kyrie said. Yes, you know, he has to gain his confidence, but if he eats up some of that space, now you have to respect a driving NBA player at some point. And now you get guys easy baskets that way alone, and he doesn't have to shoot. Or sometimes when you're aggressive, you work your way to an easy layup, and you don't have to worry about the mental thoughts of shooting the jump shot. So I think those are ways he can kind of play his way back into his confidence by just being aggressive, attacking the paint with sometimes the notions of, hey, I'm going to get a layup, or I'm going to play bully ball, or I'm going to create an open shot for some of my guys on my team.
Play his way back into being aggressive. That's sort of what Kyrie Irving alluded to in the fact that he's had this huge layoff and they're not necessarily patient, but he knows that they need to be. Brian, my question for you is, can the Nets afford to be patient here, or do they need to change something?
They don't have a choice. And, you know, obviously what Vince is talking about is what a lot of people are talking about. And the scouts who have been dispatched to watch Ben Simmons closely, and there have been a lot early in this season, believe the reason that Ben Simmons doesn't go aggressive isn't because he's afraid of missing the shot as much as he's afraid of being fouled. He's only taken 9 free throws the entire season so far. He's only made 3 of them. I mean, you look at Kyrie telling him to shoot. He was in a position there where he was very likely to be fouled. He's not afraid necessarily of missing the shot. And the other thing that has bothered scouts who have watched Ben Simmons play is his reaction to being in foul trouble. Now, in this game here the other night, this is the 6th foul. He was upset about this. But I've talked to scouts who have watched repeatedly as Ben Simmons gets into foul trouble and gets pulled out of the game, and they believe, I don't know if it's exactly how he feels, but the scouts believe he almost looks like he's relieved to be coming out of the game at times. So I can understand why his teammates are already trying to be protective of him. But the thing that sticks out to me, the big worry point for the Nets, Durant, Irving, and Simmons have played 77 minutes together so far this season. That's a pretty big amount for 4 games. They've been outscored in those 77 minutes by 30 points. That's their big three guys, and that's really worrying. Some, you know, those results, you know, in addition to what Simmons is doing individually.
Perk?
Well, Kyrie said that have patience with him. Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets could have patience with Ben Simmons, but us as fans and us in the media, why do we have to have patience with a guy that was drafted the number one pick overall, a guy that chose to quit on his team last season, a guy that basically at one point wanted to give Philly the option between to pick out of him and Embiid of who was going to be the franchise guy. And look, I understand. I get this, right? I'm not going to keep beating on this drum about Ben Simmons' offense. At this point, he has shown us who he is, and that's who he is. I don't think there's no coming back from him. He's not going to look at the basket. Forget even shooting the basketball. I watched about a handful of times where he set the screen, could have actually rolled to the basket, but he didn't even dive to the basket because he was afraid of even getting the ball to finish for a layup. Let's talk about the defensive side of things. Yesterday, Giannis was imposing his will. Old school daddy ball on the low block. I hadn't seen that many drop steps since Shaquille O'Neal. Ben Simmons is 6'10", 250 pounds. I didn't see him go on that end and try to check him up. Forget the offensive end. Impact on the defensive end. They didn't trade Ben Simmons for James. They didn't trade James Harden to get Ben Simmons to come in to be a below average or average player. They brought him in to be an all defensive type of player and an all-star caliber player. So talking about having patience, no, we can't have patience. And it's not what he did last year, it's how he did it. And so the way that he did it and forced his way out of Philly, it's no way that you could come back and start the season and look the same as what you did the last time we saw you in the postseason when you was playing against the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, since you mentioned Philly, let's check in on them next on NBA Today, because the Sixers, they struggle and it's continuing. Is this more than just a slow start for them? We're going to dive into what they need to do, what changes they may need to make. That's coming up next. Plus, a big perk. He said this on Twitter, but Ant dropped a 34-wing dinner spicy. Is that how you say it? With extra ranch? Maybe Popeyes is going to have something to say about that. And we take a flight with Air Canada himself. Vince Carter takes us to the upper room. All of that and more. We're just getting started here on NBA Today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Watching.
Curry catch it, fires three-pointer, bang!
NBA Today.
Tatum caught, big top flush with a right hand. Oh, that was nasty.
He's the most dominant player in the NBA.
You're watching NBA Today.
Somebody get that baby out the street. I see you, Kawhi.
Morant, oh my goodness, Morant into the air.
You're watching NBA Today.
I'm James Harden.
I'm Joel Embiid.
Harden with the
edge. You're watching NBA Today.
The Sixers, their early season struggles, they continued as they headed north to play the Raptors. Let's go there now. Pascal Siakam and the Raptors taking on Joel Embiid and the 76ers.
Ooh, nice little crossover, dime, punch through, dunk. Okay, now. You know what, Tim? The Raptors are one of my favorite teams. People get mad when I say they exceed expectations, but I do think they're slept on. Pascal Siakam, one of those slept on players as well.
I'm in that fan club with you. I love watching them. I think they're tough and they're incredibly well coached and they've got great chemistry.
Gotta love Spicy P, but I think we retired that nickname, right? I think that's what the streets were telling me. Pascal Siakam. Cameroon.
I kind of like it. Let's go ahead to the third quarter. The Raptors up by 7. Gary Trent Jr. knocks down the 3. And then going ahead to the end of the third here, once again, Siakam finds Trent Jr. another one.
Look, you gotta love the ball movement. They play selfless basketball, and they also work hard. I mean, look at the hustle on this play. Gets an open three, knocks it down. That's Raptors basketball.
Trent Jr. at 21 points in the second half, and the Raptors win it 119-109. All right, Perk. You gave Doc Rivers just a stirring pep talk a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was a couple of days ago. Time flies when you're having fun. It doesn't seem like that's translated, though, to their on-court performance. Is this just a slow start for Philly? Is there something else going on? Please tell me.
No, it's a problem. It's a problem because I'm looking at body language, and I'm huge on body language. I don't see chest bumping. I don't see high-fiving. I don't see guys being happy for one another. I see a lot of my-turn basketball, individual basketball on the offensive end. We don't see the ball swinging from one side of the floor to the other, whether it's sticking in Joel Embiid hands or James Harden hands. It's all about, can James get going? Can Tyrese Maxey get going? What about Tobias Harris? And on the defensive side of things, I don't see finger pointing. I don't see talking. I don't see communication. And it's a problem. And guess what? If they continue to go down this route, you know who they're going to point the finger at. It's going to be pointed at Doc Rivers. And, I mean, sadly, he got to be held accountable to his aspect. I love Doc to death. But right now, they have a chemistry problem. And I think Doc has to tighten up and have one of those coming to Jesus meetings he used to have with us when he used to go down and explain roles and explain sacrificing and explaining losing yourself in the team.
All right, so that's the Sixers side of things. I want to bring Brian Windhorst back in here to talk about the team that actually won the game, because the Raptors are looking pretty impressive. What did you take away from seeing Toronto last night, Brian?
Yeah, you got to look at Pascal Siakam. We're going to be watching this all year. He's averaging out of the gates here in five games, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists a game. Those are MVP-level numbers. Now, Siakam made second-team All-NBA last year, which was a great accomplishment because he had a rocky year 2 years ago where he got benched by Coach Nick Nurse. The reason Pascal Siakam has huge incentive to make the All-NBA team again is if he does it, guys, he becomes super max eligible. He had the option to sign a contract extension this last offseason. He did not do it because he's betting on himself to make All-NBA again and look at one of those $200 million contracts. And look at the start he's off to. He is highly motivated. I'm not sure the Raptors are crazy about giving him that type of contract, but they're going to reap the rewards of him chasing it, and he certainly is.
Oh, and they've been fun to watch this season. All right, let's go from Canada back to stateside and take it coast to coast. We're going to start with Trae Young and the Hawks. Ice Trae, he scored 23 of his 35 points in the first half, propelled Atlanta to a 118-113 win over the Pistons. Chinee, the Hawks improved to 3-1. What do you like so far?
I like the aggression that we're seeing from Trae Young. I believe he made 16 free throws on the night, and we all know free throws are an indicator of how hard you want to go and how much you want to keep defenses on point. Six guys in double figures. Gotta love what the Hawks are doing so far.
Let's stay in the East and check in on Paolo Banchero, because he continues to be dropping career high numbers. 29 points for the Magic. However, Cleveland got the win, dropped Orlando to 0-5. Tim, what's been more impressive for you, Paolo or the Cavs so far?
I gotta go with Paolo just because they got the pick right. He's 24-8 first five games, five straight 20-point games. I know it's been five losses, but we know how young they are. Cleveland's definitely a story. They went from a great story to trying to be a great team. They're going to be a noisemaker in East.
Let's check in on the Heat. They beat the Blazers, handing Portland their first loss of the year. Dame Lillard, though, would leave in the third quarter with what the team called a strained right calf. He didn't return. He told reporters he felt just a bit of his calf pregame, and it just tightened up a bit, was the quote he said. He added he's not, quote, overly concerned, and if it was a playoff game, he would have played through it. Obviously, though, hamstring injuries, they can be a bit tricky, so we hope to see him back soon. The Knicks, they beat the Hornets in overtime, moved to 3-1 on the season. Jalen Brunson continues to impress in New York. Legs, in your difference maker series, you said he wasn't one. Has he changed your mind?
I said he wasn't one in terms of the big picture for the Knicks, and ultimately I still believe that. This is mile one of a marathon we're in right now. But make no mistake about it, he has taken the ball, put it on his hip, and let them know you have a point guard in the building that knows how to run a team as a big game player, no doubt about it.
Best way to describe the Knicks, mile one in a marathon.
Last but certainly not least, the Jazz, they beat the Rockets after Houston had beaten them just two days ago.
Don't look at me, Malika.
I'm looking at you, Chinee. What's the biggest reason the Jazz have been able to get out to this start?
I mean, I just love what they're doing. A big reason is Lauri Markkanen, who has come out of the gates red hot. Jordan Clarkson went 5-for-10 from threes. They're just a team that knows themselves and full of savvy vets.
Coming up on NBA Today, Vince Carter is back. So are going to pick the best dunk of the season so far. It's time to visit the upper room. That's next.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. And it is time. We've been waiting all season to go here. And for the very first time, Vince Carter, tell the people where we are headed.
Malika, we're headed to the upper room, baby.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
And as a reminder, this is how the upper room works. This is an homage to the best dunks in the game. So we will nominate a dunk from the past week. Vince is going to choose who the velvet ropes part for, who gets a spot in the upper room. So if I may, I'm going to kick it off with my nominee. It is Vegas' current front runner for the Rookie of the Year, Paolo Banchero. Look at this, Vince.
The rookie having his welcome to the league moment. Corey Joseph, I love you, Toronto, Toronto's own. But, man, he's making a statement here. You see, no hesitation, and then he flexed on him and said, little man, get out of my way. Look at this right here. Lift off.
Look at that. My goodness.
Malika,
I feel very good about my nominee. Who's going to try to top me?
I will go next. Don't feel great about my nominee because I got last pick because I was sleeping in from the Black Panther premiere. But nonetheless, this is all about level of difficulty.
John Collins,
your squad, Atlanta Hawks, take it away, Vince.
Oh, John the Baptist. Okay, anytime John the Baptist is in, it's going to be something special. So think about this here. Watch this in slow-mo.
Ooh.
He's going to catch with the left. Two hands. The right.
Oh.
You know what? He figured since he was hanging up here, he just dunked it with the right hand. Since I'm just hanging up here, nobody else is up here with me.
Pitter-pat.
Oh, I like that, Sinead. That's the good one, though.
All right, man.
That's
whatever.
A good one.
Like, who you
Who's
got?
Next? Who's next?
I think it's Perk. Is Perk next or me? Who's up?
Nah, it's on me. It's on me. And you know who I got,
me,
the most
baby.
Exciting person in basketball. I'm going with John, Mr. Coach himself. He should have bottle service. Bring out the bottle service. Here you go right here. Talk about taking it to the upper room. With the left.
Man.
With the left.
He said, hey, take the – and here's what's crazy about it, Per. It's a bad pass outside of the square, and I mean outside of the box, and he just catch it with the left. He's like, let me easily finish this for y'all to show you what I can do.
That pass is better done.
That's a good one too.
That pass is better done.
All right, Vince, I'm gonna bring it home right here because I got a dude without a running start. No running start.
Okay.
Old school, one on one in the post off 2 feet with a dude hanging on your back. This is degree of difficulty to the max right here, Jared Allen. What do you think?
I like it because ball fake first. Ball fake first to get the guard out of there. Little shoulder to move the light fella out the way. You see here, ball fake. Excuse me, young fella. Eat that.
That was real sack
like. I like it. That is just like man-to-man crime right there.
Right.
I see you. All right, we presented them all. I'm feeling pretty good.
What you called it?
Vince, it's time for you to call it.
Man-to-man crime. So, man-to-man crime, hang time. Nah, let's just cut the chase. Mr. John Morant, the ropes are already open for you, baby. Welcome to the upper
room. That's right. And make sure you put them sparkles on there with them bottles.
Man, Perk, very
somebody. We got sparkles.
I mean, I love some John Morant, but I was feeling so good about my pick.
I appeal this decision.
I'd like to speak to your manager.
You really had, you were right for feeling good about it, but like, this man's floating in the air. I'm talking about outside of the box, outside of the square, catch it with the left hand, softly brings it back in.
All right.
That's
we're going to have to raise
that's
our
air traffic control right there, baby.
Didn't
he make it last year?
Hey, you know what?
That's right.
John Morant, congratulations. The first inductee of the year to the upper room. And speaking of dunkers, Anthony Edwards, he showed out last night, maybe even proving that he doesn't need to change some certain things.
Popeye.
I'm going to leave it right there. We'll be right back.
How about Popeye?
NBA Today is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
Maybe I could do a better job of teaching him how to take care of his body.
You have Popeye's aunt?
Yeah, man, I had to
Popeyes at the game.
I know y'all think it's funny up here when he talks about Popeyes and all that.
Where do Popeyes fries rank?
Fries, they top four. They top four. Okay.
That doesn't make me happy to hear. You know, we're high level athletes.
All the way one sauce for Edwards.
All right. So that was Karl-Anthony Towns, and Edwards finished Monday's game with only 9 points, minus 16 on the court in a loss to the Spurs. I'm just going to leave this here. This is what the official Popeyes Twitter account said.
I eat Popeyes regardless of what my teammates say, and they love me for it. My teammates love me for it. They know
I
don't eat it all
me?
The time.
I love you for it.
No, I'm talking about my actual basketball teammates.
Oh, okay.
The Spurs.
Okay. I was just making sure. Meanwhile, though, Ant was back on his game and scored a season-high 34 points, drained 7 threes, tossed out 9 dimes. He also finished the game with a plus 16, highest on both teams. But that's not all. Did you guys see this? Shortly after the game, he was getting up more shots, running the arena, some stairs for some extra post-game work. I loved seeing that. You can see the video right there. But Perk, how are you evaluating Ant Edwards last night?
Well, first of all, you know I love Popeye's chicken sandwich, but guess what? Wingstop got more flavors, and they got the Bob chicken sandwich as well. Here's the thing, though, Malika. Let me tell you this, okay?
Please do, sir.
This is what Anthony Edwards do. He love adversity, and this is why this guy, his mental is unmatched, his confidence. He bounced back in great fashion. Now, my question to Karl Anthony Towns is, you talked about his diet. You talked about his habits. He was running and getting work in post-game. Why you weren't getting it in with him? You didn't have the best game last night, but that's neither here or there. Look, Anthony Edwards is going to be around for a long time. Anthony Edwards will soon be in the MVP conversation in the near future. This just shows who he is and the love and the passion that he has about his game and being one of the best.
Let's go from one number one pick to another big perk. Zion Williamson has been upgraded to questionable for tomorrow night's game versus the Suns. That game is right here on ESPN. Zion missed Tuesday's game against the Mavericks with a lower back and hip injury. Here's Zion earlier today at Pelicans practice.
Feeling better. That was a hard fall. I'm taking a lot of falls, but damn. Now I'm feeling a lot better each day. Just got some ones in with Brew. Feel great. And just me and the team going to talk about further progression.
And where was your concern level after the fall?
At first, I was just like, man, that kind of hurt. But I stood up like, all right, I'm going to be straight. But then I tried to make like a quick move. I was like, nah, I need to go chill.
Zion, I saw you watch it pop off.
Watch it over again. Have you watched the ball again?
Oh, yeah, I saw the replay, and it was a good defensive play. He got all ball on it. Was just all balancing, took a hard fall.
You think you're going to be able to go tomorrow? See how you feel? When you
questionable. Like I said, just got to talk to the team, see where they at with it.
Good sign.
He's in
there,
a good place. I like that.
We got more hoops on ESPN tomorrow night. Doubleheader. It starts with Wizards Pacers at 7:30 Eastern. Tyrese Halliburton is actually joining us on the show tomorrow before that game. And then, as I mentioned, the Pelicans are in Phoenix. They take on Devin Booker and the Suns. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern and on the app. Coming up on NBA Today, is LeBron James being taken for granted?
Here we go.
Did you see what he posted on Instagram? If you didn't, we will show you when we're back in 60 seconds. Next week's star-studded NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts in Cleveland at 7:30 with Jason Tatum and the Celtics taking on Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs. And the Blazers host Ja Morant, recently inducted into the Upper Room, and the Grizzlies.
With some controversy.
Our coverage tips off right with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Stephen A., he's going to have his telecast on ESPN, too. And I heard Big Perk made his debut on NBA in Stephen A.'s world.
Hello, Stephen A.
Hey!
9:12 left in the fourth quarter. We're going to go to the break and let Kendrick Perkins yell at his kids. We'll be back in a minute.
What? Who? Oh, what happened, Perk?
They, They said be relaxed and act like you know, not on camera and how you watch the game. And having four kids in the house when I'm trying to watch basketball, it's a whole lot of, hey, sit down, be quiet, and it's your bedtime. That's what happened in the Perkins household. I mean, I wasn't faking. It's part of it.
You know what? I appreciate that. We'll just carry on. But I got scared when you said, shh. Mm-hmm. I was like, me? You talking to me?
I feel like you were censoring yourself too, Big Perk.
I know. I feel like there might have been some extras put in there.
I did.
I said this before the break. Did you guys see what LeBron James posted on Instagram just before we went on air today? It's a video of him dunking, and the caption is, "How long will you be taken for granted?" with a little thought bubble. Keep going, kid. Legs, what do you think of this?
I just don't know what he's talking about. How can he possibly feel that that's how he's viewed, that he's taken for granted or not appreciated? He's on a bad team right now. I know it hurts. You're 0-4. You got to turn this thing around. But certainly, I don't think anybody's ever disrespected LeBron like that. He's been appreciated.
Perk?
I don't think he's talking to us, Legs. I think this is a direct message to Rob Pelinka and the Lakers in the front office to say, do better and get something done. Mm. So this wasn't to us as the fan base and the media. This was a direct message to the front office.
Brian, you read tea leaves on this sort of thing better than anyone. What do you think?
Look, guys, we know we do not and code in social on social media. He's passive aggressive on social media. He gets angry when you try to put words into his mouth for stuff he said. Ignore. If he wants to say something, he has many channels. He can say it directly.
I would just say that maybe it could be like the athletic aspect of the game, because this man has come out of the gates dunking like he's 25. And so it's like, don't sleep on me. Like, what I'm doing is impressive. But I agree. Like, this is much to do about nothing when it comes to us. It's probably more about the circumstance he's in as a Laker, and they're 0-4. But I'm sorry, Malika. Can I like go on a side? I'm just proud I showed up today, y'all. I'm really proud I showed up. This was a difficult morning for me recovering from the Black Panther premiere, which everyone should watch when it's available. Go Disney.
Are you good?
I'm good. I just had, like, I'm still high off of the experience across the street.
I saw you met Lupita Nyong'o.
How
close were you away from Rihanna?
I'm so close. Like, Tim and I, Kathy, can you take a joint shot? Okay, I was this close to Rihanna and ASAP Rocky.
And no one escorted you away?
No one escorted me away.
Oh, you just sat there.
I played it cool after 20 seconds. I was like, oh my gosh, Rihanna. I shook Tyler Perry's hand. Y'all, I was.
Have you washed your hands since? I feel like you're just like,
always
walking around like this. Like,
If it was Rihanna, I'd question it.
And you still hung out with the common people today, so we appreciate
I showed
that.
Up. Yeah. I was going to say, hey, producer Hillary, can I take one for the team, please? But I showed up because I love the NBA and I love my job. And most importantly, I love you guys.
Sis, you know what?
And meanwhile, while you was just having fun,
Hillary got
some
on the red carpet looking beautiful
late
as well.
Last night.
I was alongside you, Perk. You and I see you. I see you putting in the late night grind. I was texting with Legs. I know he was watching the games. I appreciate all of you, Chinee, from the bottom of my heart. I want you to know, all of us, truly, we are proud of you, sis.
Thank you.
We will see you tomorrow here on NBA Today with Tyrese Halliburton. NFL Live is next.